So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. I was thinking about changing the residence for the first time in 9 years. Quite a transition. I was thinking about rapture. So that transition will not be much. It says a moment. Twinkling of an eye. We'll all be changed immediately. Made suitable, we will receive a glorified body that will be conducive for eternity. Right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, we especially thank you for the word of God, for the Bible. Speaks to us, edifies us and encourages, ministers to us, God, exhorts us, corrects us. So this is for one reason, this gathering is for one reason, that is to listen to your word, worship you and honor your word and hide your word in our hearts. Pray that you would bless this evening and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Apostle Peter is speaking about devil. And he knows a lot, right? He wanted to sift Peter like wheat. And he says to us, and rather the Spirit of God speaks to us, it says, be of sober spirit. That is one. Be on the alert. And then there are 7 characteristics of the devil is mentioned in that verse. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. What are the 7 characteristics of the devil? The first one is, he is our personal enemy. Where is it mentioned? Your. It's not mine. It's not our. Your adversary. So when I read that verse, or when we read individually, my adversary. He is very personal. Think about it. An enemy that is very personal, made exclusively for you. Right? He is around you. You are. Now that is the first point. The second one is, he is an adversary. He is an opponent. He is not on our side, and it is very clear. The third point is, his name is the devil. He is very specific, and he is not one of own imagination, and he is defined as the devil, the one and only person, and he is a false accuser according to that name. He is a slanderer. That is the third point. What is the fourth point that is Peter talking about, Apostle Peter? He roars. That is his characteristics. And the fifth point, he roams. That is another one. 3 R's, right? He is roaring and he is also roaming, walking about, and a restlessness. And he is not a common enemy in that verse. He is a personal enemy. It's like he is restless, walking about you. Imagine that kind of a person. He is an invisible fallen angel. He is walking about. And the third one is, he is seeking. So not third one, third R, rather the sixth point, sixth character, he is researching. That word seek meaning like a thorough search, your personal adversary. And his name is devil. He roars. He is walking about or roaming, and he is researching. and to devour. John chapter 10 verse 10, Jesus Christ speaks about him. That is what he is. And then Apostle Peter doesn't end there, and he communicates the victory. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And this word, resist, is not just to stand. This word, resist, is continue to stand. Don't give up. Antistamoi. That is what Apostle Paul is speaking about. Meaning to say that when you're knocked, and again get up. Because God's victory is such. Continue to stand. Don't just stand. Withstand. Firm in the faith, in the entire body of doctrine. There is nothing that Jesus Christ used in Matthew 4:4, 4:8, and 4:12 against the enemy in his personal attack, apart from the word of God. That tells us the importance of the word of God. There is one attitude, a remarkable attitude of the enemy is, he never gives up. That is something that we can learn from him. He never gives up. Have you ever seen that Satan has stopped coming against the, or have you, do you read the testimony of him? Even after the millennium period, he comes. He never gives up. That is the testimony of the scriptures. Luke chapter 4 verse 13, after the temptation, he was seeking for an opportune time against Christ, and then he left. He's not like given up. He was seeking for an opportune time. When Judas received the money in Matthew 26:16, he was seeking for an opportune time. The seven characteristics were specifically fitting for Judas in that time. Roaring, roaming, researching, restlessness, a personal adversary for Christ. That is the characteristics of the enemy. It says in Matthew 22:2, the chief priests were seeking for an opportune time. That is the embodiment of Satan. And I would like to show it from the scripture. Even to the last moment, how he was coming against Christ. And this thought I picked up from scholar Schaefer. But I would like to compare that thought with the leader of Nehemiah. So I was reading this, and then I saw the same thing happen to Nehemiah as well. So let's look at the six places where Christ was attacked in the last moment, or the last few hours of Christ during his earthly ministry. That is in Mark chapter 15. He has a message for Christ in Mark chapter 15 in verse 29. What is the message? Can you dilute your conviction? Can you compromise because this is modern age? Can you give up because I don't give up? Can you come down from the cross? That is the message of the devil, the adversary, the one who roams, roars. Mark chapter 15, verse 29. Scholar Schaefer defines six different kinds of groups, and he names them and classifies them into one particular category according to their message and according to their characteristics. Mark chapter 15, verse 29. This is a crowd that is passing by. If something happens, an accident, immediately people will come. They will pass on their comment. You should not have done that. That guy did this in this game. This is a passerby crowd, right? So the passerby crowd were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ha, you are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and dilute your conviction. Give up. Come down. Compromise with your standards. Why do you want to hold on to it? See this. A lot of changes taking place in this Laodicean church age. Would you please consider your conviction? Come down from the cross." This is the first message. Christ says no words to that particular crowd. And the second crowd is in verse 31. In the same way, the chief priest. This is a religious crowd. Religious crowd. chief priest also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down." Come down. Why are you sticking to what you are saying, right? My brother, who is elder in the family, the first brother, I have 5 brothers and 1 sister, and he calls once in a while, say about 6 months or 3 months. He's the only educated person apart from me in my family. And he will speak in English, in that too, broken English. But nevertheless, he never gives up. So he says, "What is your message? And what are you doing? So if I preach the gospel, are you still saying the same thing?" I said, "There is only one message." Right? "Why are you saying the same thing? Say something else. Come down." That is the second group, religious crowd. And the third one is in Mark chapter 15, verse 35. And this is a superstitious crowd. If the cat passes, they will not go by the car. When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." Because Christ said, "Laba, laba," right? "He is calling Elijah. Let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. So let's look for a miracle. Right? If Elijah is coming and something spectacular will happen, heavens will open, Elijah will come and Christ will come down. They are looking for that. This is the third kind of crowd. And the fourth kind of crowd is in Luke chapter 23, verse 36. Luke 23, verse 36. The soldiers who crucified Christ mocked coming to him, offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. How can Christ save unless he comes down?" That is the fourth message we have. Christ never replied for these four. And the fifth one is the criminal who was hanging along with Christ. And he is found in Luke 23:39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, Luke 23:39, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and also us." This is the fifth one. Christ never replies. Right? Of course. We can talk back to the devil, but not all the time. Because Christ has a business. "Don't you know that I must be after my Father's business? I don't want to waste time with you." The job, or the work, rather, the work that God the Father has given me is great. I'm occupied with that work. I have no time to waste. And then the sixth one is the next thief. He said, "When you come into your kingdom, remember," Christ replied to that person. All the other 5, it's a waste of talking back to them. These are the last hours. This is a remarkable attitude. Very few hours are left, and he never gives up. That is why Apostle Paul describes him between the sunrise and sunset. Don't give him a place. Ephesians 4:27. Between sunrise and sunset, 12 hours. In that gap, he can find an opportunity. Give no place to the devil. He never gives up. He comes after you. Neither don't you. Then let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. There are 6 different attacks on the life of Nehemiah. And the enemy is coming against the wall construction in various ways. And we all know about it. It is a 4-kilometer long wall. It's 12 meter high. It's about 2.5 meter thickness. And it had 34 watchtowers. It had 8 gates. It was constructed under the leadership of Nehemiah. The work is great. Not because of the magnanimity of it. It is because from whom we have received. It is because the call that God has placed. Each and every single one of us has a precious call. And Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:18 is that we would know the hope of the call that God has placed in our lives. And if one person can change, and that is the, think about this. Jesus Christ had only 11 disciples. Of course, there were other 500 that appeared before his ascension. And he handed over to this 11 plus one apostle, 12. And Christ, or rather God, never disqualifies any one of us. And if the 11 or 12 can change the world upside down, Rome is gone. That entire emperor is gone, but the church is still here. Think about it. And this chapter 6 is specifically focused only on the leadership. There is no congregation involved in that chapter. You will see the first 5 chapters, and after that also there are some attacks on the congregation here and there, different ways. But now he is zoomed in on Christ on the cross. He is zooming in on Nehemiah on the wall. What is the message? 6 times. Come down. Come down. Come down. What Nehemiah is saying, the work is great. Don't you know that I must be after my father's business? Come down. He's coming. Come down. Sorry, I can't. I can't dilute my conviction. It's not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm not boasting about the confidence. I put no confidence in the flesh. If I were to, I have a lot of resume. I can add a lot of bulletins, but it is God's work. The call that God has placed, it's a holy, heavenly, high calling. And I have a hope for it. In chapter 6, verse 2, when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah, to Geshem, the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall. Did you notice that? All that Christ had to do, he has done it. The last few hours hanging on the cross. In that last few hours, devil is seeking an opportunity. The wall is constructed, which means you are defeated. You should be going back. The wall had been rebuilt. There is no breach on it. They will give up. The wall is constructed. For your kind information, there is no breach on it. Although at that time, I had not yet set up the doors in the gates. Just the doors are left out. The last few hours, the last few days' work. If you give him that door space, he comes into your life. Do not give. Give no place to the devil. I think this, I heard it from Pastor Brian. Pastor Stevens, in his last moment, somebody asked him, it seems. He was brought by a wheelchair. And what if the devil knocks at the door? And Pastor Stevens kind of holding the mic like this. Don't open it. Isn't it awesome, right? The scholar Schaefer, in the last moment, the last few years or few days, I do not know. God spoke to him and said, preach about grace. And he said, and he was preaching, there was pin drop silence in that entire room. And he said, grace is the only means by which we can get the victory over the devil. What he meant is along with the word of God. Of course, word and the truth and the grace can never be separated. John 1:16 and 17. The doors are left. Think about the last bolt that Noah had to put. I do not know. The scripture does not mention it. The entire demonic host would have come. It is one man against the world. I'm not magnifying the enemy, but I'm saying that we have been given something very precious. It's been given to us at a great high cost. And if only we can dilute and come down from the cross or cross life or from the great work, and he has it. It is not his right to have it, and it is given to us. So the doors are left. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come, let us meet together at this place. But they were planning to harm me. If you are to come to that particular place, which means that you have to give up the construction of the wall. That is the first one. And the next three attacks are mentioned in 6 verse 4. Then he sent messengers to me 4 times in this manner, and I answered them the same way. I don't want to come down. The work is great. Then the 5th time, 6:5, Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a 5th time with an open letter in his hand. What you want to do? What can you do? You are already defeated at the cross. Talking back to you. What can you do? The title deed is with Christ. And you don't have the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. I don't have to live in the fear. It is the message. I could be, but it is the message of the Bible to us. And then the 6th time is 6 to chapter 6 verse 10 to 13. Did you notice that it is very religious in nature, this attack? And he comes with a religious cover. I mean, that is why he comes with the sheep clothing. Chapter 6 verse 10. When I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehitabel, who was confined at home. My God, think about this man who was confined at home. He said, I want to come out of the home. Would you please come down? Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Rather, I will not come down. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. This is the 6th one. To spread an evil report against. The hallmark verses, chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. The door was done. Devil had never an opportune time. I like this is testimony of Jim Elliot's wife. So when she receives the message and she records in the book, and she also speaks in some of the videos, she says when she receives that the husband is gone dead, and of course it's a painful thing for her to receive that message, she kind of collapses. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to her, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5, and that verse is, for this very purpose God has prepared. It's a beautiful verse. And we have a purpose. It's not that empty, vain task that is given to us. It is something that is filled with a tremendous amount of purpose. Can you imagine at the age of 12, if he could say, don't you know that I must be after my father's business? The importance of the task from whom we have received. God Almighty. Saint Augustine brought to his mother and showed what the Rome gave. I am the voice of the emperor. He could put dozen words with different meaning, communicating the same thought, highly skilled in his speech, an orator. And his mom comes into the palace, see, I am the voice of the emperor. See what I have done. Mom says, you are working for this king? I thought you would work for the king of all kings. You're working for this king? This is nothing. The king of all kings, the almighty God, has summoned us. The church, ekklesia, the Greek word according to the culture, a group of people called with one purpose. It's very important. They are occupied with that. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. What does it say? A walk that is according to the call that God has placed. A realization of the purpose. For this very purpose, God has called us. We can fall 70 times 7. Still, we are called the righteous ones. If the devil comes against us, and if we can resist him, all his plan collapses and he has to go back and come up with another one. But we are always victorious. I would like to point out the purpose that God has given to Nehemiah. It is very well portrayed in that book, in chapter 2, verse 4, in NASB. It says, he received the task and the Holy Spirit of God burdened his heart. And he says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Why did you pray? So I prayed. In chapter 2, verse 11, why did you come to Jerusalem? So I came to Jerusalem. Don't you know that I have a purpose that I am here in Bangalore? Auntie Anama, good to see you, right? Why would you come here? We have a church. So I came to Bangalore. Chapter 2, verse 18. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. Why do you say so? So I say so. So we sow. S-O-W. Chapter 4, verse 6. So we build the wall. Chapter 4, verse 21. So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. So we carried on. You should have given up. So we carried on. And then finally, we have one more so. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was completed. I don't know which scholar said. He said, let us be watchful after the victory as we were before the battle. Yeah, before the battle, we are watchful. To an extent, we are occupied whether we are going to win or not. Joshua chapter 1. So watchful. How about after the victory? Can he come after the victory when you are relaxing or when we are relaxing? Yes, he can. Now we are out of Egypt. Can he come again? Yes, he can. What are we going to do? Oh, Red Sea is in front of us and this man has come along with his troop. So we are all the more watchful. Be, that's what 1 Peter 5, it is the counsel of Peter. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. But resist him. I like the word but. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by brethren who are in the world. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the victory that is ours. We are not running after something that is vague, something that is, yes, of course, it can't be explained. But we have seen the glory of God as Abraham, not knowing where he was going, but he knew the one who called him. We have a hope in our call, and this is filled with purpose. For this very purpose, God has prepared us. And thank you so much for the victory. Thank you so much for the body that has full eyes, and you have placed in this body. And thank you for Pastor Brian and his family and the amount of doctrine that you have taught to him and through him and to us. Minister to us, Lord, in the rest of the life that we have, and speak to us continually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.